Welcome to I Feel Your Pain, where stories of loss meet sacred solidarity. A space for storytelling, testimony, lament, and healing. My name is Tina Norbury, a communication strategist by training, a grief navigator by lived experience. You find yourself here today because your pain has a name, a date, a memory that weighs more than you can handle alone. For me, it is the 2nd of August. This episode is Reparenting Myself, the fight for my own care. Let me ask you this question. What happens when the path to healing is not offered to you, but has to be forged by you? This episode moves beyond the simple chance of seeking therapy into the raw reality of being told that there was nothing to be done for my traumatic-induced neurological condition, which was FND, also known as functional neurological disorder. I share the isolating experience of being discharged from the NHS care with only a vague hope that my brain might, and the key word there is might, decide to heal. And the daunting choice I faced, whether to accept that prognosis or become the fierce steward and advocate for my own mind and body. This is a story of reparenting myself through different therapies, oxygen therapy, infrared therapy, and Christian counseling. I needed these alternative therapies. I had to pay for them. Not as a deviation from my faith, but for me, I felt that it was as of the faith's demanding act of trust and perseverance. Here is a story of my reparenting myself. After the discharge, I had a very difficult decision to make. So let me take you back to my FND diagnosis. My FND diagnosis came with a strange and frightening prescription. I like to call it uncertainty. After eventually getting to the bottom of what was wrong with me, because if initially, they didn't know what was wrong with me. It wasn't a stroke. I had very paralyzed limbs. My left side of the body was paralyzed. But then I didn't have any bleeding on my brain. So that wasn't a stroke. It was a mystery until they got to the bottom of it. But when all was said and done, the message I got from it was essentially this. As a neurological condition brought by trauma and grief, there is no specific medical intervention at the moment. A physiotherapist will come to your home for a few weeks just to show you some exercises, and really, there is no guarantee it will help. Healing is up to your brain to decide. Wow. Up to my brain to decide? Yes, you heard me correctly. I was sent home with that message. No timeline, no treatment plan, no promise of recovery. Just me and my paralyzed limbs, my scrambled thoughts, and a brain that was apparently in charge, but utterly silent at this moment. The physiotherapist was kind, encouraging. I mean, all you can ask for from a physiotherapist. She was gentle with me, taught me how to go on the stairs, get out of bed. She was the most adorable and helpful person I needed at that time. But her honesty mirrored the system's limits. She confirmed it that she could only guide, but she could not cure. That was so hard. In the meantime, I wanted to do Christian counseling. And if I wanted to do this free, I had a 7 months waiting list. 7 months when you are drowning? You can't wait 7 months for a life raft, can you? That's when I faced a spiritual and practical crossroads. I could either accept the passive narrative that I was at the mercy of my own traumatized neurology, or I could choose to see my mind and body as a garden God has given me to tend. Even if I had to buy the tools myself, that's how I chose to see it. Prior to my condition and all the other things that had happened, we had a friend's son who went through oxygen therapy and infrared therapy whilst he was going through his chemotherapy in his battle for cancer. That's the first time I heard about the radio. That's the first time I heard about oxygen therapy and infrared therapies. I had not heard of them before. I dived into them back then, researching to see how good they were for my friend's son as well, just to have a bit of knowledge about it. And what I found through the research was that, you know, there was a promise for neurological healing, inflammation, broken bones, people who were going through cancer treatment. There was loads of things that were helping. Of course, like everything else, an alternative medicine or alternative therapy is not a cure, but it seemed to reduce the effects of whatever condition someone was going through. The unfortunate part is that these things were not offered on the NHS. They were supposed to be paid for if you wanted to go that route. I opted for me to pay for my Christian counseling and also for these therapies. I went private. I mean, paying private for this treatment was a staggering financial leap. It felt like paying for hope at a premium rate. But I reframed it as this. This was not a luxury purchase. This was an act of desperate, faithful stewardship. That's how I reframed it for myself. I felt that it was me saying to God, "You entrusted me with this life. I am going to invest everything I have, my money, my time, my fight into caring for it, because I believe it matters to you." I was not just reparenting myself from a place of abundant support. I was building the entire support structure from the ground up, brick by brick, or maybe expensive brick by expensive brick. The scripture that helped me to cling to what is true in that void was Philippians 4 verse 8. My thoughts were a battlefield. The dominant narrative was, you are broken beyond repair. The experts have said it. They can't fix it. There's no fix for this. Just sit there and wait and be miserable. It was a heavy and hopeless truth, for sure. But in therapy, the therapy I was getting, I was introduced to a scripture had become my weapon against that passive despair. Philippians 4 verse 8 in the NIV says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The enemy's truth was that I was helpless. God's truth was different. I learned to catch the thought. There is nothing to be done and replace it with a truer thought. And that truer thought was, I am doing something. I am showing up. I am fighting. That is noble and admirable. The thought that healing was up to my brain, I replaced it with, my brain is fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and it is capable of learning new pathways. This is excellent and praiseworthy. This verse stopped being a gentle suggestion for positive thought or positive thinking. It became a discipline, a daily practice of cognitive siege, warfare against a prognosis of hopelessness. I had to actively choose moment by moment to think of God's creative power. And I also had to think of my own God-given agency, that I needed to do something, because the entire medical framework around me was whispering the exact opposite of that. I was in warfare and I needed to gird my loins. I needed to put on the spiritual armor. In solidarity, I had to reframe my mind and look at advocacy as a spiritual discipline. This journey taught me that stewardship of my health often looks less like a quiet acceptance and more like a fierce advocacy. Here is what this grueling process engraved on my heart. The system's limitations are not God's limitations. Just because a public health system has no more to offer you does not mean God has no more for you. It may mean that He is leading you down maybe a harder and more personal or costly path of partnership with Him during this time of healing. Do not confuse the end of the service with the end of hope. They're two different things. You may have to be your own case manager. I know this is difficult. When you are sick and tired, the demand to research, to phone, to finance, and maybe to coordinate your own care is very overwhelming. I know that. But this can be reframed as a sacred duty. You are gathering the loaves and the fishes of available resources. However small these can be, or however scattered and limited, just place them in Christ's hand. Put them in God's hand. Trust Him to multiply your effort. It's all about the effort. The financial burden as part of grief, or maybe to put it as having to pay privately whilst you're grieving, is a double loss. It can be heavy going. It can be overwhelming. It's so hard. But once you acknowledge that anger and the fear, and then if you are still able to proceed, consciously dedicate the full fund as an offering. That's how I did it for me. I dedicated it as offering. So this was me saying to God, God, this money represents my belief that your will for me is life and healing. And I am investing in the belief that you will heal me. I believe that your advocacy paves the way for others. I mean, by fighting for your therapy, by fighting for good care, by fighting that you do whatever it takes, you are not just helping yourself. You are slowly, painfully helping to validate those paths, or maybe the path of others who are going to come after you. There'll be other people who will come after you with the same diagnosis and the same bleak prognosis. Your fight becomes part of their solidarity. It will help them along the way. If today you're listening to this and you are in a similar wasteland of this, nothing is to be done for you, or nothing can be done for you, I want you to know this. Your fight for care is not lack of peace. It can be the very expression of that peace. I'm talking about a peace that says, my life is worth fighting for because God says so. For me, that is the deepest reparenting of them all. Learning to fight for yourself with the unwavering belief that God is fighting alongside with you. If you are having to build your own healing process, or you're struggling with this, build it brick by brick, one step at a time. Do not look back. I pray that you may have strength to continue to acknowledge that you are doing something alongside God. You are cooperating with a great physician in the most intimate way. I say your perseverance is holy. As we close, I leave you with three things. One, listen deeply to your pain. It is a language God understands. Number two, lead clearly through your grief, because your scars light paths for others. Number three, communicate with care, especially to the hurting soul in your mirror. Until next time, your pain is safe here.